All right, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today. Roger, I've known for 33 years now. He's actually the one that did the counseling for Lisa and I's marriage and married us 32 years ago, last week, as a matter of fact. So it's been a great pleasure knowing Roger these many years, and it's great to have him back, so please come forward. Okay. And his wife Linda beside him.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. You and Lisa have been some of the gems in our lives. It's wonderful, isn't it, to have those? And I love the song service, you know, all about God's grace. It's by grace alone, that's for sure. We wouldn't have what we have if it weren't for the grace of God. You know, people have asked Linda, my wife over here, of 62 years today. So we're celebrating our anniversary here with you folks. Well, you're welcome. Thank you very much. It's all of grace and of my wife. So we've had people ask us, well, you're so fortunate to have children that know the Lord, and not all our grandchildren, but many of them, and we always just look at them and say, it's all by God's grace. It's all by His grace. We wouldn't have what we have if it weren't for His grace. His favor, His loving, tender mercies favor. Why would He love me so? His grace is sufficient for us in all kinds of trials and tribulations. His grace is always sufficient to get us through. And we all have those trials and tribulations, don't we? Well, I'd like for you to turn to Luke chapter 2 in your Bible today. And if you go down to verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke, Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I picked out this scripture today because I want to be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas. Maybe somebody's already made me do that. We used to have Christmas in July at our church, and So, what a wonderful passage of Scripture, but there's one word there especially I want us to really look at today and think about, and that's the glory of God. It said the glory of God shone around the shepherds, and they announced to them that there was one, a Savior, Jesus. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And the light. And the angel of the Lord announced this wonderful glory, and the glory shone through. I call it glory, glory, glory. Our Savior. God's glory. His glory is the greatest glory anywhere. His glory. That light that He brings into life, that light that He shines. And it's because of Jesus Christ, the Savior. He was born, He lived, He died, He has risen, He's coming again. It's all about Him. And being about Him is all about glory. Not our glory, but His glory. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's majestic. His glory. A psalm that describes this glory, it's mentioned of this glory, but Psalm 111, I'd like for you to turn there. When I was looking at this and I ran across this psalm, it just brightened my heart for the glory of the Lord. You know, there's much in the Bible about the glory of the Lord. We know that. So many wonderful descriptions and marvels. Here in 111, Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are verity and justice. All His precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Glory, glory, glory. Isn't He wonderful? Isn't our God the greatest thing that ever happened? You know, it's wonder when you think of His glory. You know, everything should give God glory. All His creation. And you know, so much of it does, if you notice. You go out and look at the universe, the stars, the moon, the sky, on a clear night. Psalmist said that this is God's glory. And even His glory is above the heavens. His glory is everywhere. It's shining forth. And so today, I want us to think about God's glory in times of suffering. God's glory in times of suffering. Probably the best book in the Bible, for me anyway, is 1 Peter. And that's where we're going to be spending some time, about God's glory. because God's glory is something that we should enjoy and take part in. And we find that that requires us to be a certain kind of person. You can't give glory to the God unless you lift up your heart, you lift up your mind, and you praise God. You praise Him and you see Him. And He's above everything and beyond that we give Him glory and praise. And as you go through the Old Testament and New Testament, you'll find glory mentioned of God so many times. Glory, glory, glory. Well, in 1 Peter, we find that many of those early Christians were giving all that they had. They were giving their lives for the glory of the Lord. You know, I've wondered when I was reading 1 Peter, and it's about a book of suffering and persecution. And I've wondered at times, you know, how could you be nailed or strapped to a tree or a post and be burned alive for the Lord? And do it willingly and even thankful for the testimony that you were giving for the Lord. Have you ever thought about all of those people that watched these early Christians die in the arenas, tore apart? Have you ever thought about those early Christians that gave all they had, their very lives, for their testimony for the Lord? How could they do that? Well, they did it because they realized there was something greater than them. That something greater in life than their problems. Something greater than life than where they're at and what they're doing. Something that is above this level. That's God. And He gave them an example of that glory. He gave them an example of suffering and dying. It was Jesus. And as you go through 1 Peter, you'll see that every time that he challenges them to be submissive and to be able to yield their lives to the Lord, he'll use Jesus as the example. And he'll say, Jesus gave all that he had, his very life, his very blood, for the glory of the Father, for the glory, for the glory. That will be glory. And so those early Christians, when they gave their lives for being a Christian, they saw glory. Remember Stephen? He saw glory of the Lord, and it changed his countenance. It changed everything, and he could take those rocks. Amen. He could take it. He could take what was thrown out to him because there was something greater than those rocks, something greater than himself. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't cry out in agony, oh me, poor me. He gave his life. That is glory. That is glory to God. And that's what Jesus brings in our lives. He brings that glory. interesting word as I went through looking at all the words for glory, honor, beauty, majesty, adornment. It's used 10 times, this word here in 1 Peter. It's the same word. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, but doxa. And it is used in Luke chapter 2 of the glory of God. Same word as used here 10 times in 1 Peter. So there's a connection there. A connection with the glory of God that shines in life. Something greater, a gift that is greater. And it's Jesus. And He brings glory. He brings light. He brings eternal life for those that will receive Him. Glory. That's glory. Honor, beauty, majesty, adornment. We find as you start out in 1 Peter that you'll see that word used, and you'll see it used time again here in 1 Peter. But in verse 5, who are kept, chapter 1, verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, revealed, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, be need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried by fire, may be found to the praise and the honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And having been seen, and having not seen seen Him, you love. Though now you do not see Him, ye believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and what? Full of glory, receiving the end of your faith and salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets had required and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them, indicating what He testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. You see, that's what's going to follow the Christians. That's what is going to be the end result of their lives. Glory to God. Glory, He gave me life. Glory to God. That's huge. But if I am lost in myself, it's not very big. Glory. He brings glory. He brings light. He brings salvation. He brings a different life that's above any life here on earth. It's His glory. How suffering people enter into God's glory. You know, there are several places we could look at in 1 Peter, but I like the closing in chapter 5 and then in chapter 4. But in chapter 5, we read, "The elders who are among you I exhort, and who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed." It might say we haven't seen anything yet. Glory. "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory. Same word. That does not fade away. Isn't that something? A crown of glory. But that's not just for those under shepherds. It's for all of us. Glory. It's for all of us to see the glory of God. Because you see down in verse 9. Well, let's go to verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, be sober, be vigilant, because like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood in the world. Now, watch this. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory, his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthened, and settled you. And what do we have? To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. As we think of this in practical terms, how do we bring it down? You know, glory of God, and we see it in the stars, the moon, we see it in his creation. We see it everywhere around us, the glory of God, because without God there'd be nothing. A glory to God. But how does this work out in you and me? I think Peter answers that and challenges us to live a life of glory. How do you do that? How do you live a life of glory? Well, chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. What brings glory to God? What is the workings of God in his glory? Prayer. Who do you pray to? Not anybody on this level. You pray to God, Almighty God. The glorious majesty, the beautiful, wonderful, Almighty Lord. You pray to him. You receive glory in your life when you pray. That's what these suffering Christians need to hear. They need to know prayer is so important in your life for the glory of God. This really came through to me as I studied this and went through 1 Peter and other places for glory. Glory! Prayer is glory to God. It's talking to God. I think we take prayer too casual. We take prayer too meaningless so many times, or I should say, I do. I do. Prayer is so important. My favorite service of the church, because it's the only one I go to a lot of times, is prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. I don't even know if you have prayer meeting or whatever. I think you do. It was announced about it, wasn't it? Yep. You announced it. That's important. That not only brings you up to the level to talking and giving God glory, but it brings you up to this church level. Corporate prayer, bringing this church bringing glory to God. Because you're part of this body. And when you pray and you bring glory to God. Because you're talking to God. He's the glory giver. He is glory. The second thing is love. this here, what they needed to see in their lives, their suffering lives as they were giving their lives, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Love one another. When you do, you're dealing with glory. Glory to God. Love isn't of us. Agape love is of God. And it's glorious. Love is powerful. As I mentioned in my testimony, bringing me to the Lord. Fervent love. That's just not ordinary love. That word there is not the same word that's used earlier in chapter 1 of fervent love. Fervent love there is talking about warm, something really hot. I mean, it's really powerful that way. But we find that this love is talking about stretching. The word means to stretch. Any of you ever watched that cartoon of that guy? I can't think of what his name is. I watched it with the grandkids one time. And there's this stretch lady, the elastic lady, and she could reach her arms and her legs. I mean, she could reach for, I mean, all over the place. She could go down through the bottom of the door. It's amazing what she could do. Because she could stretch. When you like to stretch sometimes, I've been doing stretch exercise. Wow, I'm feeling better. Stretch. That's the kind of love it's talking about. Stretching yourself. And I'm sure that you're doing that. Because you're here today. You stretched yourself. And you know, that's so much of serving the Lord. Stretching yourself. Sometimes that requires quite a stretch. Lord, I don't know if I can really stretch that far. I don't know if I can really give that much. I don't know if I can do it. But God says, love one another. He tells us to love each other. He says, stretch ourselves for one another. You know, we had an old gentleman in our first pastorate. He stayed home while his wife came to church all the time. He's an old German. And he's kind of a gruff old guy, and a lot of stories about him and his wife, but his wife was such a sweet little lady, came to church faithfully, but he stayed home, and he was unsaved, but he got saved. And then he wanted to listen to the tapes of the church, and he wanted to take part. And we had to start loving him. Like we hadn't loved him before. Couldn't walk. And we loved him, Jerry. We loved him. Oh, he's a cranky old guy. But he had a heart. Sometimes you have to stretch yourself for some people. You know, they can't be reached normally. You know, you just can't walk up there next to them and whatever. Sometimes you have to stretch out a little bit. Sometimes you have to reach out. That's the kind of love it's talking about. That's what brings glory to God. That's above human. That's glory. Reaching out to others. You know, several years ago, and I mentioned that before when we were here, and there was some lady here. We had a work team for our our state fellowship that came over and helped a family over here that were flooded. And there were some other workers here in Cedar Rapids, but we joined them and we helped do drywall and a lot of stuff there in that house. And I believe that someone here, because when we were here before, that person spoke up. But I was thinking of that. I thought, you know, we had to stretch ourselves to do that. But more than I thought of up in Parkersburg, Iowa, when they had that tornado 5. That's fairly close to where we live. We had a work team go up there, and I'll never forget this. This family, their house had just, they just moved it off the foundation. There were some houses completely gone all around it. I mean, it was devastating. And I remember people had given me an offering. And this younger couple, I remember they were sad. Their big old dog in the back had killed. But they made it through. But it destroyed most of everything. And I remember handing her that offering that people had given us to share with them. And she just cried and cried and cried that people would give money to them. And that people cared about them in their very big time of need in life. I'm glad there's been people in our lives that stretch themselves. We wouldn't be here, I'm sure, if we hadn't had love, this kind of love. Someone that gave themselves, stretched out themselves to win us, to Christ, to care for us, to love us. Fervent love for one another. That brings glory to God. And then the last one is hospitality. Oh boy. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And if you go on down, it sums this up with ministry. And that's what it is. Ministry. It's ministering hospitality. You know, I wish I could take all of you with us every Sunday. I told our church that here the other night at prayer meeting. I said, I wish I could just take all of you with us and see what we see in these churches. We went to a church up in northern Iowa just 2 or 3 weeks ago. Very interesting. One lady there had lived in New York City, and when 9/11 happened, after that, she moved to Iowa. A little town in Iowa. She wanted to get away from there. She was such a blessing. But they told me in that little, it was just a small group in this huge church. Just a small group. And when we went in there, they said, you know, we really love one another. Really? You do? Oh now, come on. No, said, we really love one another. And you know, we might have thought about that they did, because they invited us before we even got there to breakfast. They have breakfast every Sunday. They have breakfast. I like breakfast. But it was almost 2-hour drive for us, so we didn't make breakfast. But then, after I preached, And I put out those tracts, and if you want one of those, I got more down here. I put out those tracts, and I gave one of the booklets to the pastor's wife, because he wasn't there. But after the service, you know what they did? They had a room off here to the side. It's actually a kind of an extension of the auditorium. We met for cake. I mean, they had this big old cake there, and they all stayed and had cake together. The cake before a noon meal. But they were all full of breakfast. Hospitality is so important in a family, in a church. Why? Glory. It brings glory to God. And the cooks and all of them, you know, I see my wife working so hard for dinners and all this stuff, funerals and whatever, like many of you do. Wow, she works so hard and all that. See, it's for something else, bigger. It's ministry. It's ministry. And it brings glory to God. Glory. So, here that next verse says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And get this last verse. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, thank you, dear people, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. Oh, yeah, it's a lot of suffering, a lot of hardship. But God is alive. And He wants to use us to bring glory to Him. To bring glory to Him. Not easy. Not easy to be nailed to a cross. Not easy to bleed for someone else. It's not easy to be persecuted and misunderstood and all other kinds of things that happen to those dear people. But it's worth it all, because glory be to God. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing today of sharing this message with these dear people. Lord, you love each one here today so much. And I pray that you would lift us up by your grace as we sang about today, to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, because, Lord, we are weak and we need you. So help us, Lord, to live out our testimony, our life in you, for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.